Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in. Today we have Stubbs on the episode, Peter Arvidsson. He's been on this show before, and I think he's just afraid that I'm going to make him share his deepest, darkest secrets. So let's see how it goes. Hey Stubbs, how's it going?
Aiden, man, it is good to be back with you. We had you on our show, last week?
Yes. Yeah, a week
and
ago.
And that was a lot of fun. Got to catch up with you, and I know we were going to record our episode that night, but we decided, hey, let's start fresh today, and which is great because I got to take a nice long bath before the episode, get in the right podcasty headspace.
So you don't smell. That's good.
So I don't smell. I got my nicest shirt on for you, I have a glass of water, and I'm ready to podcast and talk about whatever subjects you want to cover. What's going on? How can I best podcast you? I don't know. I feel funny being on another podcast because I think I was saying this last time. I naturally want to try to start to go into host mode. It's like, no. Once again, this is your show. So,
okay, cool. Yeah, I see you making a point of like stopping talking and waiting for the next thing. I think it's cool. I think you must take over if you want to take over, but. I think this is something I never noticed about you because you come across like me, like super sort of like unplanned and off the cuff and just like,
improvise. Everything's improv and that's
anything
on
goes.
Purpose sometimes. Anything goes.
Yes.
It can be casual. Yeah. It can be whatever. But there's a lot of just neurotic planning that goes in to what appears to be random off the cuff chaos. You know, there's a lot of thought that goes into that, and then you let it all out. Then you do improvise, but you have a general outline. I feel like.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, same here. No, definitely. So when I was on your show, I noticed that. And then, it feels like you, like you said, a lot of like neurotic planning, like you kind of internalize a lot of that, like anxiety and worry about this went wrong, that went wrong. And you're still like putting on that, yeah, everything's cool, man. But I can see kind of behind at the scenes, you're like, oh, shit, this went wrong. Oh, man, that guy said that wrong. Like
while you're making the content, your mind is keeping tabs on all the little kerfuffles and mistakes and issues that are happening. And you're like, just keep it cool. Just keep it going. Afterwards, you really audit yourself and you really ask, you know, your team, how was this? How'd this go? I don't know. You just try to improve a little bit every time. That's how I feel. So I'm doing my show, you know, once a week, and that is a faster cadence. Last year we were doing every other week. And so now it's every Monday and it takes a good 2 or 3 days to prep beforehand, researching all the topics you're going to talk about. And then doing everything else off the cuff.
Yeah.
But you know, it's podcasting in 2024 is kind of a wild world, and YouTubing even more so. So I don't know, but I respect anybody I think who really tries to endeavor to do this, because it can be tough to do it long term and to keep up with everything.
I was wondering why I don't listen to the podcast that much live. I mean, and then I realized it's because I'm sleeping, man.
Yes.
And that annoys me.
That's right. I was gonna be like, what in the, you don't listen to the podcast? I'm offended. But you are, I am in Portland, Oregon, across the world from you. Right now it is almost 10 p.m. for me. It is 6 a.m. for you. And we're on completely different time zones. So you know what? I forgive you, and I want to take this moment to say that we can have this moment of healing, and I appreciate this. So last time you did pull just my deepest, darkest sort of stuff out of me. I don't know how you do it. You have this therapeutic voice about you, and it plays tricks on me. And so this time I've decided.
You're on guard.
Jokes only. You won't get a shred. Won't get a shred of personality. No, I don't know, man. I'm here to,
it's all business.
Just kind of, I'm here to chat about whatever. I have my handhelds that I pulled in recently. I got the 3.5XX.
Okay, that's the 2024 edition. The nonsense edition, yes.
The nonsense edition. That's been a whole thing. Yeah. I'm not making a video on this. This is ridiculous. There's no reason to buy this. really, when the, you know.
I appreciate Stubbs's video. I mean, Stubbs, Russ's video, because it's like, here's 24 minutes on why you should not buy this thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, he made a good point in that, you know, if you don't have any of these vertical handhelds, any of these cheaper handhelds, and you're not part of this niche and part of this scene, this device, I mean, really is wonderful for what it is. It really is. Mm. It's just, we know better. We know that you can get Wi-Fi and you can get better shoulder buttons for just $2 or $3 more and get the Plus model.
Yes.
And this is a downgrade. Now, this was a money, this was a financial choice by Ambernick, we have to think, because they probably had old shells lying around and they have a bunch of stock of this new H700 SoC. And, you know, they're probably planning this first and they made the Plus instead. And now they just don't want to put it all to waste. And so here you go. What I don't get, what I don't get is why they're making a big deal of this being some new unique handheld when it's not. It's not even an improvement on the original 35XX, which is an awesome handheld with Garlic OS on it.
Yes, that's the little part of the conversation where I'm like, oh man, what the hell are you guys doing?
I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, it sometimes just doesn't make any sense. And Rob and I always joke, the Retro Tech Dad, we always joke that, you know, their cadence for releasing handhelds is almost weekly at this point.
Yes.
It was one after another, after another, after another. And now there's going to be the new clamshell, the 35XX SP.
Yes.
And it's hard to keep up as a reviewer, as content creator, and just as an enjoyer of handhelds. It's like you don't really have time to savor each release and start to modify it and maximize it. Now it's the next thing.
Yeah.
Time to talk about it. How do you stay engaged as a content creator with
exactly constant, and how do you keep your audience engaged on
how do you keep the audience engaged?
We've probably said RG35XX a million times now. Like, it's, you know, we've worn their ears out. Like, let's move on now, please.
Did you know that was originally just a prototype name? But
yes, I remember in the beginning. Yeah.
But they didn't change it. You know, that was always like, it was going to be 35 something something XX, which is the XX, filler.
So like, we're not sure. Yeah.
We're not sure. And then they made it. And now the first one, it was a viral, amazing handheld. Not really as successful as the Miu Mini overall or the Miu Mini Plus, but nonetheless, in its own right, because of Black Serif and Garlic, that thing was the handheld for me. The one
I was one of the champions of it. I was one of the, that's how my channel started growing. I was like, this is a great handheld. It's it like serves the community. It's a win-win for me because if I make content about this, I'm not lying. I'm not, you know, this is good content for me. And then I followed the whole Garlic OS thing and I even contacted Black Serif. So it was like my first time, like really getting into the scene, talking to a dev and all the stuff
behind the scenes.
I was really like pushing it because I really believed in it. But now I'm almost the opposite. Now I'm like, rather buy the Miu Mini Plus. It's better in every way.
You know, it really is. And there's another one on the scene. I don't know if you've seen this. Let me show you. The R33S. This is a clone of the Miu Mini.
Yes.
And this thing.
I saw that pop-up last night.
Yeah, this thing looks just like a Miu Mini Plus.
Yes.
I actually like the purple on it better than the Miu Mini Plus, that kind of weird pink that they have. That's the one thing I don't like about that one. However, and
the PCB is blue on the Miu Mini Plus, whereas this is black, which looks better.
This is, and so visually, except for the face buttons, which are just atrocious looking, visually, this actually looks nicer to me. But when you start playing it, you realize, okay, there's frame pacing issues. There is super loud. Listen to this. Crazy, crazy loud buttons. The face buttons just don't feel good. The D-pad is crazy loose. The reset button's super hard to push. And there's all these things, and you're like, okay, this is not it. And there's more and more clones coming out that are trying to replicate that success of this little tiny pocket handheld. And it's really no. And I'm just going to keep recommending the Miu Mini Plus for most people.
Yes, that's, me too. Yep. Well, it was funny because I made a video. This is what I recommend to friends. The RG353VS. Because, you know, it's got all of the things. It's got a powerful enough chipset to play most things for most people. I was like, this is a great device. It's solid, all the things. And then it got to Christmas time, and I was going to Cape Town, and one of my best mates lives there. And so I gave him my Miu Mini Plus.
It's all right.
That's what I ended up giving, actually.
Drop shipper will send you another one to cover soon.
No, that's, I've got the purple one now.
They just start dropping them on your house. Like you will, Aiden, you will review Miu Mini Pluses forever.
Yeah. I need to keep in communication with you because from the beginning, I've noticed like Stubbs will buy anything that moves or doesn't move or like is spoken about or not spoken
depends.
About.
Yeah. It really depends. These days, I am becoming a lot more frugal on my budget.
Yes. Especially with Windows handhelds and stuff. It's getting a bit
too expensive. Yeah. You cannot buy every handheld, and as much as I would love to try all of them, I like to just try them and touch them and sort of experience them once.
I can
store all the opinions in my brain and let the handheld go, and I can recall that later. You know, I'm good, but that is not a sustainable way to create content at all.
No. You
cannot get a review unit for one thing from everyone. You're going to maybe do 50% review units, 50% self purchase, and the rate handhelds come out is crazy. The Windows handhelds, like you said, is absolutely too much money. I'm not going to buy an MSI Claw. So I have like some criteria, some secret criteria that I have to make for myself. All of those are checked. I will find a way to buy it. The R33S I knew is a piece of crap though, but it was on such a good sale in AliExpress the other day.
Yeah.
I said, you know what?
Let's at least just have a look.
I've been waiting to try to find this one and it's impossible to get a hold of. And I know it's bad. But I still
so you already knew.
But this one I overrode myself and it's here and I'm like, all right, I'm going to talk about this in the podcast once. Hey, I talked about it on your podcast just now.
So
my opinion's
out there,
but
it's done. Yeah.
We've shilled it. It's over. It's done. The new one though, I'm really starting to fall in love with. I didn't give it a good review at first is the RGB30 from PowerKitty.
Dude, where's mine? We are twinsies on that one. So on my new video, I mentioned this and I talk about this. I'm like, I didn't give it a great video, but please go relook at this device. And I am going to release another video on it because this is my personal retro gaming device. This is the one that I retro game on. It's Steam Deck and this.
What do you think it is about it? What do you think it is about it for you that pulls you back to it?
I don't know, because I just got the PowerKitty RGB 10 Max 3. Which is essentially the same thing, just with a different screen and a different body, but everything else is the same. And there's something about this thing. I mean, the start and select is clicky. The shoulder buttons are clicky. The D-pad isn't fantastic. It must be the screen. It must just be the screen. But I think it's because it's something different. You know, being exposed to so many handhelds every day, all day. This is just, I pick this up in the evenings and I'm like,
isn't it about that feeling? There's something in you that can override all of the technical flaws with something if it gives you that it puts a little smile on your face and it's some Spark X story. factor, and I don't know what to call that. It's like, I don't know, I remember feeling it first with the Retroid Pocket 2 Plus. That was the first handheld where I went,
okay,
oh wow,
yes.
Well, okay, I'm lying. GPD XD, which is a client. I'll pull that one out too. We'll just do a little show and tell.
Yes, let's have a look at that one because that's before my time. So Rob mentioned this and I just kind of pretended I knew what he was talking about.
This is from 2015. I talk about this all the time recently. Just, I have so much nostalgia for it. This is my first retro handheld. It's a clamshell.
Android runs
Android on it and it plays up to Dreamcast and DS, PSP. Oh. And it's really... to this day, it still runs well. It has like 11-hour battery life, and it is such a good emulation clamshell. Mm. I recommend anyone to try and find one of these.
Yeah, you'll have to do secondhand or AliExpress somewhere.
That brought so many smiles for so many years until the 2 Plus, which was when I started becoming more of a content creator. And this is another one now. I don't know why. It took about 6 months or so for me to turn my mind around on it. I think it's because of all the community work I've seen on it, all the software, the hardware mods you can do to it. There's just a lot of community love and passion that goes into it, and you can feel that. And then they you know what it is? They release these darn cute colorways. They release this pastel green and, you know, red. And,
I've got this. I'm like, should I get another color? Should I?
I already had it in yellow. Why did I need it in yellow. Green? Right? So, you know,
ladies
there's no.
Gentlemen, he just said he doesn't buy everything.
I know. Before I completely embarrass myself here, let me just say, I didn't buy this. I traded two PlayStation 5 controllers for this some months back.
Oh,
wow. More expensive.
See, frugal.
Frugal. Because I wasn't, there were extras. I wasn't using them. This was on an AliExpress anniversary sale for like $52 or something like that.
Say what?
And I said, I've been eyeing this green one, and there's something about, there's something about it. There's colored face buttons now that adds a little bit of personality to it.
Oh, cool. I do like those buttons that they're doing. Oh.
And I've been playing it tonight. I know, just to give you a hard time, I know that we ran a little late today. And so while I was waiting just for you to brew your morning tea, I was playing on my RGB30 and just playing Celeste on Pico 8, which, by the way, I enjoyed your Pico 8 video recently. But there's a simplicity to this that, like, comment, subscribe below. There's a simplicity to this that just is right, that just feels right. And the other handheld that made me feel this way was the original 35XX. After I did some, this is one you had to do mods on. You had to replace the back buttons with these.
I did the better buttons.
The better buttons. They're sloped, you know, and also making sure you get
face
some tape under the D-pad. Some new face buttons.
I never did the D-pad tape. I might
this
do
one
it
it really
with the,
did
with the Max 3.
But
I just did the beta buttons. Look at us comparing our nerdy little.
I know. It's just one that really makes me happy. And you know what? The plus and the H don't give me that same feeling yet. And I don't know. Maybe the software's not there yet. Yeah, the 35XX plus and the H.
Yeah.
They don't give me that feeling yet. So.
Yeah, I mean. So where will I get some buttons for this? Because I never did a button mod, and I'm kind of into that now.
Aiden, let me give you
Sakura.
My buttons guy. No, Sakura is great. Sakura is great.
Yeah.
But for the 35XX in particular, I really would recommend going with a Cloud Life 6 buttons on Etsy. That's what I believe these were. Or if you don't mind waiting a bit, the best buttons you can get are in Japan. So if you go to the Various Booth PM store in Japan, you can get these better buttons printed from Various, and he has a shop that does these transparent backs with the better buttons.
Yes.
And it's a collaboration, so he was allowed to do this. But they just feel so good, and the face buttons, oh God. So this is a mixture of those and then Cloud Life 6 for the purple buttons
here. Okay, cool. Sure, some lot of love has gone into yours.
A lot of love. I got more into modding on the 35XX than I ever have for anything in my life. A lot of them I don't mod, but this one, it really has to be modded to fully appreciate it, I feel like. And it's just freaking fun.
I don't know if you are getting into this now, if Juntara's reached out to you, but I'm doing a video soon. I don't know if, I'm sure I'm allowed to talk about it.
PCB Flex?
Yes. So I'm going to be doing that soon on this.
Is he sending you a PCB Flex kit?
Yeah, and I'm kind of using it as an excuse just to revisit the RGB 30 because, you know, I gave it not a good review. So I want to revisit it and just say I'm modding it because I actually love this thing.
Same thing here. At first, I'm like, I don't get it. The one-to-one aspect ratio, I don't get it. PSP, I tried to play PSP on it, and I stretched it vertically, and Russ just shook his head at me.
Like, what are you doing, dude?
What are you doing? And I thought it was hilarious, and I think I did a live stream on it, and I'm like, this thing is, it's okay. I don't understand, besides like Tate mode and vertical shoot'em, you know, shmups and all that. I don't get it. Now I'm getting it because 4.3 content scales really well, and of course, Game Boy, Pico 8, all that looks fantastic on it. and you start to mod it, like with Juntaro's mod, now you have flashy buttons, you have a better D-pad, better face buttons, better contacts, and it's only $12. Okay, it's only $12 for that kit, but you got to pay for shipping from Japan. And so
that became a problem for me. So he reached out. Actually, I reached out to him. I said to him, listen, I see you've got this thing. And then he said, do you want me to send it to you? I said, no, look, I'd rather support you and buy it, which turned out to be a mistake. He's like, listen, I'll just send it to you. Because I went to shop, and then it like, I've got to send it to a shipping go-between called Tenso. And then Tenso has to ship it to me. So it was like $20 for the PCB, a bunch of buttons, and then my shipping was going to be like $50. So I was like, crazy.
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, it's expensive to ship across. I mean, especially probably from Japan to South Africa.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. You've got to ship it to Europe, and then a man has to carry it over the Suez Canal, and then that man has to throw it over the border, and then so on and so on through Africa. No, maybe I'll cut that out.
No, leave it in. Never cut it out. Are you kidding me, man? I'm on the Retro Handhelds podcast, an RH podcast. Yeah. It's all live. We don't edit a single moment out. All of my horrible, awkward mistakes. I pronounce words so terribly sometimes. Rob and everyone is calling me out lately because I cannot for the life of me pronounce certain words correctly. With your Afrikaans language. Is that, I don't know if I'm pronouncing Afrikaans correctly.
Well, it's Afrikaans, but I mean, obviously
Afrikaans. For the life of me, I cannot get my head around the language. And so and there was one, Quick Sisters. There was a
Sisters and
Baboiti. And I said something else.
But I just launched. I know you
were dying.
Those words. I was literally.
But you see, moments like that are my favorite. It's sort of natural. It's off the cuff. It's organic. These things happen. And people get enjoyment out of that. And that's like those moments get clipped more than anything else. And they get shared and remixed. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't mind. Aish says that I make myself the butt of the joke all the time. I make. And I'm like, if people are laughing at me, that's fine. But for me, it doesn't matter because it's still an outlet. You know, it's still just I'm having fun. I don't care if I mispronounce words. And I think it's funny because I know I'm doing the best I can anyways. And sometimes I'll exaggerate. I'll lean into it a bit. But
yeah, there's two sides to that stuff, because like on the one hand, it could be that you're just so self-confident that you don't care. Or the other option, which we could discuss.
Sure.
In this counseling forum that I have set up for you,
continue.
Is that sort of innate insecurity where, like, you know, you feel like no matter how much you achieve, you still don't feel like you've achieved anything. The reason I say that is because it's been on my mind. Because I think it was in the episode where you were like, you were like. It was in the post episode conversation. You were like, yeah, I don't know what to do with my videos. And I could see it like an insecurity there. And you're like, you were like, in the episode, I was like, yeah, shame. And then afterwards I thought to myself, dude, like you've built this huge community. You have like a team behind you. Why are you feeling insecure about your video content creation? You know, I don't know.
Oh, I'm just putting that out there. I appreciate that. This is a good conversation or a good topic. I think I can be honest with myself here and say that I want to make videos at the level that the rest of you do, you know, that you're making, that Russ is making, that Aish and Rob are doing, that these really nice cinematics and the production quality.
Yeah.
My reality is that I spend so much time working on the podcast and perfecting the live show and the live everything that when I have limited time to work on these production video, standalone produced videos. Yeah. And when it comes down to it, I just don't have the time to make something that I'm proud of. And so every time I let myself down. And so, yes, you're right. Just, you're like, right. I run a giant gaming community, a Retro Handhelds thing, entity. Website, the YouTube, everything that it's a lot of fun. I get very inspired from all of it. But then when it comes to my own creativity and my own stuff, I'm so hard on myself. I am so critical, and like everything about video creation to me feels unnatural. Whereas talking and having conversations with people and doing live interaction with the audience feels natural. This feels good. Trying to sort of get the lighting right and then get the overhead cam right. And then, you know, do I unbox it and show that journey, or do I play with it for a week and then talk about my experience with it in front of the camera and then show B-roll of the device? Yeah. You know, do you do that sort of Bob Wolf style, or I guess Russ does that style these days too?
Yes.
I'm so in my freaking head about it that I'm constantly changing my format for how I do videos. And I have to imagine I'll find my groove. I've been doing this about 2 or 3 years for video stuff. And, I don't know. I'll get there. I'm not super worried about it, but I do get insecure about just about the videos. Everything else I feel okay about. Actually, I get insecure about a lot of stuff. I don't know. I really do. And that's, I don't know. You just got those things in your psyche, but, I kind of reset every day. Like the next day I try again. I'm like, all right, yesterday was shit. I'm going to start again today. Let's see what we can do today.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I have the podcast, which I'm always proud of. I'm always proud of the work that we put into that. And the team is there, and it was awesome having you on. And, you know, we gave you a hard time. You got to see the full shenanigans that we get into.
I loved it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you liked it.
Like, okay, I really felt at home. Yeah, I felt very welcome and at home. And like, because I mentioned this before we started, that people are criticizing me for interrupting people, which I've done to you a couple of times now. But today, you guys just kind of rolled with it. At least once I've done it.
It's good that you're self-conscious about it, or mean that you're conscious of it. But I haven't noticed, and I both have ADHD, so it's, I mean, who gives a crap? Like, we're going to step on each other, and, I don't really get offended with that too much.
Yeah. Well, my point was, you guys gave me the space to be me, and that's like really cool. Like, cause you can see when you arrive on the podcast, there's this whole thing happening. Like, there's the RH vibe that happens. And, so I was late and I came in, I didn't know what I was doing. Like, and I forgot that there's this whole sort of RH like scene that happens as soon as you hop on the podcast. I just like kind of went for it, and you guys just rolled with it, and it was so nice. And so when I watched it back afterwards, I was like, oh yeah, they were really kind of like, they were being really nice, and that felt good. Yeah.
Oh man. It's good to hear that. It's good to hear that. We always want to showcase our guests and make it about them, but we do sort of have news to cover and a show to run and all that. And so, yeah, it's always a balance of showcasing the guest. Cause I'd love to do more of what you and I are doing here and really just get one-on-one down deep down and dirty and get these sort of quality conversations. But yet we sort of have this other vibe where we have the live audience is almost their own guest. And then we have news we want to cover and talk about. And so it's almost like a variety show these days. Our podcast used to be this, though. Like, it used to be just Thor and I having a one-on-one conversation, and then sometimes there'd be a guest. So
I'm trying to remember. I might have maybe picked up on that in the beginning.
I think we might have talked about it last time. It was a long time ago, and it was before YouTube, before videos. It was just the podcast.
That was the thing. Yeah,
it was. God, we were so naive back then. Like, we were so so. No idea what we're doing. And it was almost like, I don't know, learning to walk or something. It was,
you don't know
what to talk about when you're starting a podcast. You don't know what to talk about. What are the topics? You think, all right, I'm just going to wing it on the fly. And it's just sort of this meandering thing that goes on and then it ends.
Yeah. And you realize it can't be. Yeah.
Yeah. And then over time you start to format it a bit. But you got to be careful, because you don't want to make it too serious or too structured to where you lose that sort of fun in the moment element. And so, I don't know. I'm still looking for the right balance, striking the right balance. To this day, I'm always looking to improve what we're doing.
You're definitely improving as you go.
As you go,
Point I wanted to make. Yeah, like So my entry book too. So the original where it was just you and Thor. I don't think I ever was around for that. But my entry was actually, and this is when I first contacted you. And it was a bit of a selfish reason because I just started the YouTube and you were doing like a weekly update. I think this was, you mentioned there was a time where you were struggling a little bit, like Thor had kind of left and you were kind of just all over the place. And you were doing these updates. And you said to me in the previous episode, I remember this afterwards and I've been meaning to say this is that it was kind of like all over the place and it wasn't very good. But for me, that was some of the best podcast content because it was these short updates. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Oh, I don't really like that. Finish the episode. I'm like, okay,
move
cool.
To the
like,
next
I feel like I know what's happening in the scene now. So that was my first entry into your podcast. And I actually enjoyed those short little updates.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I did that. What? Yeah. I did that for maybe 6 months or something. Just sort of 15 minute or so. Quick little snippets of what's going on. You know, Joey of Joey's Retro Handhelds is doing that idea now. So he's living on through him. He's doing short, brief updates. And if you want a more expanded version, then you watch our podcast where we're gonna really break it down for you for, you know, an hour or two. And then you got the Nerd Nest podcast, which is doing but more modern news, more modern gaming stuff. And you got Russ on there, you got the Fox and all that. And so I'm sure there's others, but those are the main ones that I know of. Yes, and then you got your podcast here where you're the one-on-one historian documenting all of us.
I don't know what I am.
And a therapist, basically.
Yes,
the retro therapist. The Retropist. Retropist would be a great YouTube channel name. It could really contain a whole bunch of different kind of ideas on there.
Yeah, Retropist. That is kind of what my channel is all about.
Retropist.
All about the retro feels.
Retro.
And then I do enjoy a bit of a retro argument from time to time.
And you have some beers and you get retropist.
So let's change gears a bit because you mentioned to me that you think me and Shem should do a regular thing. I haven't spoken to him about this, but it's been on my mind. Well, how do you think that would look?
Well, listen, you and Shem are two opposite peas in a pod. You're living in a pod.
We really are.
But you're at the opposite ends with your opinions about things.
Yes.
It's funny because you'll release a video and say something and Shem releases a video really close to it with the complete opposite opion. You guys are both gentlemen. You're both gentlemen and you find a way to exist and you're, what I can tell, you're quite good friends. You guys did that live stream together. You've been growing at the same sort of rate. And that's been really cool. I got to send you a video of me at the dentist.
Yes,
during your live stream.
Please, guys, check out that episode for the 10K celebration. That was wonderful.
It was so silly. What are you at now? You're flying way past that. What do we
this
say?
This was also from the 10K
and
live stream.
Tech Dweeb. That's right.
Yeah.
That little fun guy.
Did you see the video he made? It was
the
crazy.
The video he made?
Yes.
So you were talking about this on our podcast, I know. But
yeah, and that was me. Then he made a Shem little man. He needs to post Shem his little man. And then he made a Tech Dweeb man. But then he made a gang that came into the room. And like he made up this whole story. I was like, it was so like, we were still right in the beginning of our relationship. I don't think he'd even been on my podcast yet. Maybe he had. But we were just chatting, you know, on Discord. And he made this whole like little video about how this biker gang came in. And we had a Nintendo like game off. And basically, if we didn't win this Nintendo game off, they were going to like kill us. But Tech Dweeb eventually had his eyes closed and he was playing Nintendo and he beat the game and the bikers were like, okay, sorry. And they left or he beat them up or something. It was just like, it was hilarious.
Man, Dweeb is so creative. You ever get where you meet somebody in the scene here, especially another content creator, and they're just so creative that you're annoyed, that you're upset about it because they're so good.
Yeah.
You're intimidated. You're never going to reach that. But you know, in all due fairness, you do reach those moments in different parts of your work, but it's hard to recognize that about yourself. But in others, you can always look at them and say, like Russ is a classic example. Like he is the GOAT. You know, he is the guy, the greatest. He's the GOAT. And it can be, and you eventually realize you got to just do everything in your own voice. You got to do it your own way. And that's going to be the best you can do. It's going to be your thing. So I think you and Shem getting your opposing opinions on a podcast is lightning in a bottle, because I think what made our podcast really good early on was Thor and I were pretty opposite about stuff. And so we got to argue a lot, but we were friends enough to where we could argue and push each other and not and still hurt be happy the relationship about it at the end. And still be happy about it. Finding someone to have that, to bounce that off with that kind of energy is gold. If you can sort of sort that, and you tell them, you're like, I'm going to ride you hard. I'm going to go in hard on you about this. Don't be offended. Then you get to the point where you don't even need to say that. You know, it's understood between you two. You have this unspoken bond. You finish each other's sentences.
Yeah. I mean, me and Shem are like that, which is strange. So anyone who's watching this and doesn't know who Shem is, Retro Breeze, go check out his channel. I'll try to link as many of the things we talk about in the show notes. But
Shem, Shem is he's a gentleman, Shem, but he's also kind of punk rock. He's also a badass
it's so unsuspecting.
He will call out any bullshit from any company. And other content creators too. Retro Dodo flamed us the other day about an affiliate link we had on Twitter.
Yes. And he just went for them.
And he went straight. He took the knife out and he went straight for it. And he's like, it was really, you know, not necessary for you guys to go to that level, to sink to that level. It's like, just be good. Just make good content. Then you don't need to spend time trashing others to make yourself look better. Instead, you could spend that same energy on just, you know, making quality content.
And crazy. Shem, he's like got balls.
Shem went for it. And I was like, dude, you said that way better than I could have. I wrote a response as well, because it was so out of left field. It's like, what did we ever do to you, Dodo? You know, I guess Dodo is going the way of the dodo. And he's upset about it. He's upset that we're still doing our thing. You can leave the segment in too. I was flabbergasted. I've never had that sort of behavior from another content creator. It's ridiculous. But
yeah, to fill people in, the Retro Dodo wrote an article about how their income's going down with Google ads, and you know, bullshit. Like someone said, you know, that we hate to see anyone lose income and all this, but there's no need to go after other platforms.
There's not
creators.
No, I mean, I guess, you know what, and I'm a hypocrite, because here I am sort of trashing. I'm saying I'm being critical of Dodo, but you know, they were one of the first outlets that inspired me to realize like there's a whole scene here, you know. Yes. Some of their articles have the best SEO, and so they are everywhere on the internet. They're just everywhere you look. So they don't need to bring others down by bringing that toxic sort of drama into it. Nobody I have to imagine it's a bad look, right? Do people respond to that? I guess the drama does bring in people to get the popcorn out. They want to see a train wreck. They're hoping, you know, they're hoping that we're responding, and that so now you have these.
Yeah, so they don't have to talk about it. They can just watch outlets, other people arguing. Yeah,
you know, having retro wars, and so I know Joey was like, "I'm getting the popcorn out. This is going to be good." And I'm like, Joey.
Yeah.
No. But Shem was the one who started this. Who started this? And he posted it to us. And I was like, and this happened. Okay. Here's the thing about this is that this has been going on for a while. They started lightly prodding us. And now
I saw
directly
something the other day, and outright, I was surprised to see you guys responded. You were like, okay, listen, maybe let's just stop all this. Yeah.
And so now they're directly sort of calling us out on this and that. And I'm like, is this what I'm going to be doing on a Friday? Am I going to be arguing with the dodo guy, the rest of the day? They don't need, they can do other stuff with that energy. They can make, they can work on their videos. Their video guy is great, by the way. I like him. And and their writer for a long time, I'm good friends with Nara. Nara makes games. Anthony Wallace, he's a super cool guy, and we collabed a number of times on different like news drops and things like that. It was really good give and take sort of relationship we had. And then they fired him for whatever reason. And then now they're just like on the offensive. They're saying Google is strange. Destroying their business. Google is taking them down. You know, it's Google's fault that an AI's fault and Reddit's fault that they're failing. When if you look at it, you realize that their articles, what they do is they focus on SEO first, which is great when you're starting out, I suppose, to get yourself out there in Google search results. And you're building
a business. I mean,
you're building a business.
You can build a business. There's no shame in that. Yeah.
But the content is built out of the SEO. Like the SEO, the hot keywords are all thought of first, and then you write content out of that. Whereas, and eventually people get over that, and then there's advertisements every paragraph. There's a paragraph, advertisement, paragraph, advertisement. And so over time, Google's down favoring them. People aren't clicking as much. They're not going there as much. I don't know what the reasons are in particular. There are their blog. You should all read the blog. It was an interesting blog article.
And there's a lot of,
and it highlights some good things in that independent sites are getting hurt by Google's algorithm. Independent sites are getting hurt by AI scraping. You know, the AI scraping is a concern. It's taking original work, remixing it, summarizing it for people, and then the original content creator is not getting those clicks, those views, that ad revenue,
the credit. Yeah, which they've been working furiously to do. That is a very good point.
It's the AI or whoever owns the AI that they're getting the money and all that stuff. And so it was a whole thing.
Interesting.
In saying that their brand is dying.
Yeah.
And I did respond to that just saying, well, looking at our metrics, I'm not seeing any of this to
what
be
you're saying.
What we're seeing on our side. But we do things a little differently. The difference might be we don't have any ads for one thing, which shouldn't matter either way, really. But we write the content first and put the SEO last. That's the last step. We write the content that we like. We're passionate about the topics we're talking about. We're focusing on accuracy and getting everything right in the content. Last, we go in, start putting some hot keywords so we show up in Google search results. Sure, get the title right. It's just like doing a video, really, and you know, doing all that stuff, getting a good-looking thumbnail. Google's big on original thumbnails and original pictures being used. Make sure you're crediting the right sources, all this stuff. And we're just seeing this sort of constant increase, constant growth from whatever we're doing. And we're showing up in Google News Feed more and more every day. Our articles, we're showing up right alongside Dodo.
You are.
And then
because you responded to someone else's comment on Twitter. So I followed this a little bit. And I think this is true for my YouTube channel as well, is the fact that you were like, it kind of hurts us in the beginning. And I remember in the beginning stages, like you got, it was like really slow. And like, I don't know, I don't know if we talked about it, but it seemed like it was quite frustrating. You weren't seeing like as much growth as you maybe expected, you know?
Were you talking about the website or videos?
The website. So I'm comparing websites to my YouTube channel, kind of just thinking there's a similarity.
It was like slow for a long,
on quality content,
long time.
Like good, like let's answer this question that someone asked on Reddit. Let's answer this question someone commented on Twitter.
Yeah.
Do that kind of thing, which is what you guys were doing with your websites. But
we don't
wasn't super SEO friendly. Like,
no,
you know, like maybe giving in the beginning, making a title like, this is cool. Like, it's not going to pick up a Google, but
no,
it's genuine. And I think that's why you guys are now winning, you know?
So we almost gave up. In fact, we were like, do we start using AI? ChatGPT to start getting the articles Google friendly, but we could never finally pull the trigger on that one. I just something about just ethically something felt so wrong about that.
Oh yeah,
that I don't know. So we're like, you know what? Maybe we'll never be successful with the website, but we're making the content we like, and so we kept doing it for a year, another year, a third year. Then, and I don't know what the. You know what it was? We started making daily articles. We got a big enough team of writers and we started attacking a schedule.
Okay.
7 days a week, we have an article coming out now.
Oh, wow.
It was around, I don't know, November, December, I guess, when we really went out all in on the daily stuff. Now Google's like, you guys are a reliable source that's going to keep giving us stuff to push out for people to read. The site response time is super quick. There's mm-hmm. no ads. So it just loads right up and it's nice and clean interface. And so finally, we started seeing our articles and our reviews and our news show up in Google's newsfeed along with all the other mm-hmm. big outlets. And now it's only been increasing. We, you know, so we went cool. from yeah. 200-300 views a month on the website to now it's just like thousands and thousands and thousands. And just like, yeah. it's this exponential well growth. Done. So what?
It's amazing.
I mean, it's, I don't know. It's staying true to yourself and then committing to it and just being consistent. And I don't know why, but now, and we had an article about, I don't know, the Steam Deck. It was the Steam Deck DS mod. So you turn your Steam Deck into a 3DS with a second screen. We had that article out.
So that's, it's like ridiculous, but wonderful.
And that's, and that made the whole website viral because that landed on Tom's Hardware, okay. that landed on PC World, and they're wow. referencing it everywhere, mm-hmm. Reddit and all that stuff. And so now we're like, okay, this was a dream of mine my whole life, dude, for years, was to make a news outlet and to run like an online magazine or an online blog yes. of some sort. And yeah. I originally had a website in 2019 called stubbornpixel.com, which ended up just becoming my username, which got shortened eventually yeah. to Stubbs. But that was yes. going to be the website. That was going to be...
Yeah.
And Retro Dodo was inspiring me at the time, in fact, and Talkie. Yeah. He had just started before Russ. You know, it was just Talkie and Retro mm-hmm. Dodo and ETA Prime pretty much, yes. and obscure handhelds. And so these were my inspirations. And... But I couldn't... I don't know... I couldn't make websites very well. I'm an IT guy, but I couldn't really make websites that I was proud of.
Irony.
I couldn't, because of the ADHD, I found it hard to commit to making the right content and sticking with it. And okay. so I eventually went to creating a Discord instead in a subreddit and then got into videos yes. and then focused on the website. And I'm not involved no. with it. I'm just overseeing the whole thing and sort of
no.
making sure all the pieces move. And, yeah. I'm proud of the team and it's been really fun. And yeah, thanks for sort of getting on this topic because I haven't had a chance to gush about the website. And I hope it's not coming off to you like, oh, look at, you know, here we are. We're getting big boys. But
I love this. Yeah.
But my message to Dodo, if you're watching this, sir, Brandon, no shade, by the way, I'd love for you to come on the podcast. We can have a retro fight. We can really debate it out. But if you guys are going to succeed, you got to drop the attacking other content creators. That's not the way to, you know, going down with the ship. I don't know what's going on, but it's not, the game's not over. You just, the jig's up as far as the Google SEO, you're gaming the system and Google caught on and now they're just done with it. All you gotta do direction. Is write to change direction, write content from the heart, maybe less ads, fact check everything. And the outlet can regain its footing and can, you know, it's good to have some competition. I would be scared if we were the only outlet out there now.
Yeah, then there's nothing pushing you to content. Be better.
There's nothing pushing you to be better. You'll get stagnant. You really need someone else out there to sort of be there to keep you on your toes a little bit. And so I wish they could find a way to embrace the competition a bit. Hell, look at us. We're all YouTubers in the same space.
Yes, same space. Disagreeing.
We're disagreeing.
They need to learn from me and Shim.
We're all lightly to moderately competitive with each other, but we're all also really good friends. And we have a friend group that we chat with each other in and we share each other's struggles, our ups and downs. And you know, this is a niche scene and it's not that big really. And
one day we're going to have to bump into each other at CES or something. And then it's going to be all awkward because we had an argument on Twitter. You know, so.
Oh yeah. There is always a chance to repair. I think any relationship to a degree. And I hope that can happen. I hope they continue. I do not find joy in seeing another outlet fail. Okay.
Yeah.
I just think that the article that they wrote about Google being the big evil thing that's taking them down, is a cop out. I think it's not,
it was written in anger, Stubbs. Like, you know,
it's not
when
self-aware
I was reading
and it's
sorry, Stubbs. When I read it, I was like, this sounds like an email I wrote to someone when I was angry. That's how it felt.
Yes. You know, and it was written,
and this,
you know,
and this, oh yes, right. And this thing. Oh yeah. And that person also, and this, and by the end, like I didn't want to jump in on this, but it's kind of like triggering me
I
because
don't know.
like I was Googling something else last night and I just read Retro Dodo's thing. Like, we aren't coming up on Google. We're losing ad revenue. Google is, there's a conspiracy and they're killing small creators. And then I Googled this thing and one of the top articles is Retro Dodo, but the information was incorrect.
Correct. So, yeah, that's the problem. You know? Well, yeah. And then Reddit had a field day with it, because when you go and do what you call maybe an apology video, a classic YouTube apology video, you go and do a dramatic piece on the website. It's all sort of the same thing. People will tear it apart. So Reddit, if you look at the Reddit response to this article, it's just when people are just going all in and all of their years of sort of annoyance with the incorrect facts and all that stuff is built up into this cacophony now of revolt. And I don't even know, you know, I don't even know if they see that stuff, because I'm not sure how they operate. And all I can say is I invite them on to the podcast, really, so we can have a
talk it through.
Good. Like, let's talk it through. There doesn't need to be the adversarial relationship among creators like this. All they got to do is change direction. Don't rely on the SEO. Screw the SEO. Just, you know, the website's already out there. People are already going there every day.
There's a huge body of SEO. Now let's just push forward with better content or whatever.
Yeah. Do what you're talking. If you're not passionate about retro handhelds anymore, then talk about something else. You can talk whatever you want. I'm locked into retro handhelds because our name is retrohandhelds.gg. We're matter what, we've talked about it. They have the opportunity. They talk about Pokemon cards. They can go into so many other realms now.
I think that was, I think, so maybe we're going on this a little bit long, but that was Brandon's original. You could see when he branched out, I was like, this is really clever what he's doing.
I liked it.
I think he's got a good business head on him, and I think it was a good idea. I mean, like he mentioned in the article, they went out to Casey Neistat. All of those things were great business moves. Mm-hmm. And you could see, like, we've been watching him from the beginning. He definitely has a passion for this. Like, I don't want to speak too much about it, but I just think there's just this. This is my last thing I'll say. Yeah. If he can get away from the anger and read those Reddit comments and find the kernel of truth, it'll take him a while because he'll be furious and you'll have sleepless nights, but he'll get the kernel of truth and he will, through that comment section, he will find the problem. Because sometimes it talks a little bit of outside.
It does. It does. And Reddit can help with that for people. As much as it's painful sometimes. And I read some horrible things on Reddit sometimes about us as well, about me and my freaking large thumbs or whatever it is. My jokes about jokes about beans or whatever. it does elicit some self-awareness and some sort of growth. And if you are able to handle that and look inside yourself, let the fire be lit within you with the knife. Get the knife out. That's right.
Yes.
Let the fire be lit within you.
This is an important part.
And we've been using that knife emoji of you everywhere. And I've been loving the hell out of it. Thank you for letting us use that emoji. If you focus on that sort of the inner growth that you get from the criticism, and inspire that and let it burn a fire in you to be better.
Turn it to the positive.
And you don't do it for the people who are coming down on you. You do it for yourself. Mm. You know you can be better. You have to know that there's some level of truth. If enough people are saying the same thing, there's some level of truth in there, and you have to be self-aware enough to acknowledge a little bit of it. And you can go down in flames and say, I quit, I'm done. Screw it, you know, or you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps and say, all right, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go back to what made me happy in this. I'm going to redo and get the reputation for this brand back. Because I tell you what, some of the videos from Brandon early on, they were awesome. I loved some of those videos.
Yeah.
Those original Ambernick videos and stuff like that was so brilliant. Cool that I'd never seen someone make a video like that with such production quality.
Yes.
And you know, it's just, you will always have a chance to rewrite your story. You always have a chance to do better if you listen to that voice.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
No, I agree. I was thinking about, because When I left the podcast, not left the podcast, when we finished the podcast the other day, and I thought, I always thought me and Stubbs are similar, but you know, he's built this whole world and I'm like a one man pony here with my YouTube channel. And then like, as the week progressed, I realized like I have a whole business that I run on the side. And yes. So I started thinking about the similarity between the two of us, how we both have this need to kind of bring people in to our world of whatever we're doing. Because like I think the reason I'm thinking this is because I'm quite inspired by what you've done. Like talking about the website, like well done, you know, it's incredible.
Thanks, man.
How far you've come. But then like while we were talking, I was like, yeah. Stubbs, stubborn pixel. And I was like, Stubbs is pretty stubborn. Like he will, and I think what we all have in common, like all of us, like, Brandon, Russ, Shem, you, me, Joey, the whole, like Aish, like all the people is this stubbornness to be like, we're going to do this thing and we're going to do it the way we want to do it. But what you're saying is if you don't build that self-awareness, if you don't go like, okay, six people this week said I interrupt people in a podcast monologue like I'm doing right now. But
how dare you? How would you do this on this podcast?
An element of truth. Yeah. And I mean, people like you, you know, friendly and kind and like, listen, it's not a big deal, but there's definitely an element of truth to it. And when I watch my podcast, there are sections where I'm like, okay, you interrupted that dude. You ruined his train of thoughts. Like, stop doing that. And I think if we don't have that self-awareness to take ourselves outside ourselves every now and again,
obviously,
we are all going to run into that point where we write an angry email, you know?
Yeah. And if you get to the point of writing an angry email, always, always, before you hit send, stop, go on a little walk, walkie poo, go around the block. Little walkie poo, have a glass of water, watch a movie, watch a meme, something funny, come back to it. If you still feel that way, all right, send it. But I guarantee you, you're probably going to make some edits at that point.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, you can't unsend something like that. You know, you put it out there, people have read it. You can't really take that back. So think about that, you know, before I should take my own advice. I should not have responded on Twitter and create a whole dog pile situation.
Where the stubbornness comes in. Yeah.
Where everybody has an opinion now and they're like, oh, here's the show. You know, here we go. For some reason, every time I'm on your show, it's like some drama happens right before and like I start to get in like unhealthy habits. So I have some good fodder to talk about for you.
Yes.
And all this stuff.
It's good times. Yeah.
So that's why I knew. I was like, it's got to be an Aiden episode today.
It's coming.
I can feel it brewing. I have some things to say. I'm going to be clapping back.
I was listening
I
heard Trevor Noah on the you know, Dax Shepherd, he's got a podcast, a very famous podcast. Yeah. So I saw Trevor Noah was on it. So I thought, okay, cool. South African guy, let's listen. And because Trevor Noah has now started a podcast and he said to Dax Shepherd, listen, man, if you come on my podcast, something will happen in your life. And you're going to come on the podcast and you're going to have to share it all. Like I said, it happens like to everyone. So maybe it's a South African podcast thing.
I think it's great. I'm not going to share this sort of story on our podcast. You know, it's just not the right vibe to really sort of have share and tell in this sort of way. Mm. Where else am I going to tell these stories? You know, like this is where I would tell these stories. So I appreciate getting the chance to sort of vent and talk about it. I don't know if it's a good idea to share these stories, but at this point, it's out of the bottle. Genie's out of the bottle, and
Riverside has recorded it. You can't take it back.
And it's now we can't take it back.
Like that is the thing about Stubbs and about retro handouts is the fact that you have that. I mean, I know there's Retro Dodo, and that's probably why it strikes a chord with you, this whole drama, is because it's the only thing that's similar to what you've done, but no one has really done what you've done. You know, like you've got, I see this from the outside, but you've got a mishmash of people that you've formed like this collective, which is very unique. You know, like you said, you've got 18 guys. That's a large amount of people that you've brought together that are building this body of work. And you've got the Discord, which is very active and actually builds the community in a very unique way, in a very positive way. And I don't think there isn't anyone else that's done that. So just like hats off to you. You know, I think I did this at the end of the last podcast. So
my that's apologies. All right. I appreciate that. You know, it's funny. I that feels good, and I appreciate that. I will not think that about. I will not feel good about myself in 5 minutes from now. It all's out the window. I need to, and my self-worth starts back at zero every day. You ever get that? I think maybe it's an ADHD thing. You feel like you got to prove something to the world every day to prove your value in it. It's something I'm still working on, and I'm approaching 40. Okay. I'm turning 39 this month, and
44.
Really? No.
Yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm. No, you're
44 this month, April. Are you April? You just say this month?
I'm April. Yeah. You're a big stoner then, or?
Big stoner. Well, no, why would I be a stoner?
Because it's April 20th, and at least in America, is the Snoop Dogg Day. So.
Oh, yeah. There's the, what's it, the 20? I don't know, the number. That's something.
The 420. See,
yeah. 420. That's
People are especially out here in Portland, people are just, they're blazing. 420 is a big important holiday. It's like Mardi Gras, basically. Yeah. So people get very excited. I've never been into that. Lucky.
Yeah, the weird thing is that a hallmark of ADHD is addiction. But I come from a long line of alcoholics, and I just wrecked so many lives around me that I've never touched much. Like, I have a beer in the weekend.
I don't get hooked on the alcohol. Maybe when I was in my 20s. I got more heavy into it and doing music and traveling and doing the musician thing. Definitely drank a lot, but that doesn't get me going these days. These days, my dopamine addiction tends to be purchasing something like it. And it sucks because I'm a tech reviewer. And so I'm always like, it's for work. But you can tell beforehand, like, I'm stressed out. I'm anxious. I need some retail therapy. I'm going to get another RGB 30. And so that's why I'm saying, like, I am interventioning myself and really trying to build some walls around my own purchasing just to.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'll get into a bad way and I take it out of my wallet, and it's not fair to myself or probably to my kids eventually. You know, eventually, like, that money really should be going to a college fund or invest it towards retirement. Smart people do, you know, in their 40s, that you have an investment portfolio. You don't have investment of retro handhelds, your drawers and drawers of these. You always you're like, I'm gonna resell these and take care of it.
So what you're saying is, when you end up with an MSI claw, which you said you wouldn't buy, I need to call you and say, are you okay?
Well, yes, exactly. And the self-justification will go a long way, because I can self-justify anything. Here we go. MSI Claw. Well, that's from Best Buy. You can just go up, you can go pick it up, and when you return it, who's the victimless crime. And then the next person gets it for cheaper because they can get an open box item. There you go. Uh-huh. I've technically done my good deed.
World of service.
I've done the world of service. I've tried the MSI Claw. Mm. Now, if it's really good and I love it, I will have no choice but to keep it, and then I'll make content on it because I love it. So there you go.
I can't. That's difficult to argue with. So if I had to phone you, I'd be like if we think this through, and I'm like, oh, I'm so worried about Stubbs, and then you say that, I'm like, yeah, that does make sense, Stubbs. Okay, see you later.
but I will always recommend to others, and when I'm talking the podcast. You know, we'll hype something and get excited about it. But I always try to bring it back down to earth for others. Like, I might buy it, but please, you don't need to buy it. You really don't. I don't need it. You don't need it. Nobody really needs this. However, it's very cute and it's quaint, and look, it's green. So there you go.
Yeah.
It's sort of like
the green.
I do not advise anyone to own more than three handhelds. You really don't need more than
the same type.
The big boy.
Overall? Okay.
Overall, yeah. Like
same type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need more of one of these, the same model, especially. But get a big handheld, like a Steam Deck, Windows handheld.
That's a topic that I could do with Shem.
Topic with Shem. And you and I were going to talk about this episode. We were going to talk about the future of handhelds. Now that's going to be punted even further.
Dude, I forgot about that, because that was supposed to be your podcast.
That was in our podcast. We'll do it on
this episode.
Now, when you come back to our podcast, we'll talk about it.
We'll do it again.
We'll do it again then.
And I would love to be on the podcast again, by the way.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it. So.
Now, I know I'm gonna call you out. So Aiden Walls was an hour late to the show because we got our time zones mixed up. I'm in daylight savings.
We kept that quiet for so long.
We kept it for the whole time. But here, I got to give you her time. And then this recording, he just slept in, and I also waited an hour. And he said he'll repay me or punish himself. And I said, no, I don't want you to ruin your vibe for your show. You can feel bad later. But I don't want
you. I'm going to put the screenshots. You sent me a bunch of screenshots on Discord, which are hilarious. So I'm going to put them on the screen now.
Yeah. And so while I was waiting for Aiden, I was playing my RGB30. And then I was taking screenshots of myself on camera throughout the hour and then sending it to him on Discord with different sort of like disappointed looks
and expressions.
And I took a knife out and threatened a little bit. And I sent lots of gifts and I was like, wake up, honey buns. Let's do this.
Said honey buns.
I wasn't upset. I was just like, I think it's like 5 a.m. and he probably is sleeping in a little bit. I'm going to give him his beauty sleep. I can stay around.
It's been
10.
Bad lately, man. I don't have any excuse, actually. I don't know what's wrong with me lately.
You needed some sleep. Some sleep. It's important for your mental health to have good sleep. And
no, but dude, I had a good rest. I got to bed at 10, which is like early for me. I could have easily have woken up at 4:30 without any issues. Anyway,
you could have. I do that all the time. I'm not a morning person. And so I forgive you. In fact, I don't want you to feel bad about this at all. This is me giving you a hard time. This will be the public shaming that your audience can witness.
I get to edit this. So
you could edit this out. I have no control, but you know what?
No, just kidding.
We've all been there, and I am not a morning person. And so I will take every extra minute of sleep that I can. And I could not make a plan with somebody for a podcast. If it was 5 a.m. my time, I could not adhere to that. I would fail them every single time, time. If it's before noon, I will fail as well. Anytime before the day, the midday sun is out.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little bit of shade, but now I'm done with it. I'm good because this has been a great conversation, and I feel good about where we've gone with it. And what were we? Where what tangent had we started on here? Oh man.
I don't know. You mentioned we were supposed to talk about the future of handhelds, blah, blah, blah.
The future of handhelds. That's right. So we'll talk about it whenever I'm back on my podcast.
Yes.
And we'll get into all that. But this has been a fun deep dive into whatever it is we've been talking about. Me.
Yes.
Right. Yes. You know what?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy about me is that I don't know why I keep doing this. You know, you were saying that it built this whole thing, all that, and
which you did,
which I appreciate, you know, your feedback on this. And but I don't view myself any different than you. I don't view myself as any different than any other creator. The community was built by a team of people. I just sort of kept my eye on the ball. I'm like, all right, I know this could sort of let's see how much fun would it be during COVID for us to start from nothing and then start widening, expanding and growing. And, you know, and like, how far can this rodeo go? And I don't know. And we're still doing that. We're still pushing. We really hope to get to 100K on the YouTube this year. And on the website, we want to get to like 100K monthly traffic. And that's sort of the goals. And then I don't know, what do you do after that? I guess it's a business. You keep on. And when do you lose your soul? Like, when do you become stagnant? Because you have to keep innovating. And I just wake up every day and I just don't want to do anything. I really don't. But I'm like, there's people that depend on sort of what we're doing now. Or I tell myself that. There's something in me that's like, you know, there's people depending on knowing information about handhelds. There's people depending on, or they, it brings them comfort to be with the podcast and to listen to the show. And so you're like, okay, you get yourself in the mindset. But man, I tell you, a lot of days I wake up and I'm just like, I just want to go play Balatro on my Steam Deck, and I want to just do nothing, and I want to just watch like just horrible documentaries about Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, you like dockies? Okay, cool. I'm not a big documentary fan, but
I love documentaries. I got a big kick on Elvis lately. I've been watching all the Elvis document. I never got into Elvis before, and I got into all the Elvis documentaries, and the man is fascinating and just such a good entertainer, you know, just
very interesting character.
So interesting, so fascinating. And I can't stop consuming the content, anything I can find now. The movies he made were awful, and a lot of the material in later years were not good. No. But still, it's like that's the original template for the sort of the modern rock star. And rock stars now, the kids are telling me that rock stars now are YouTubers. Have you heard this?
Yeah.
Like Gen Z or whatever, that's like the kids are. That to them, rock stars are sort of lame. They're lame, but YouTubers, I guess, are cool. Mm. So
it's weird. It is. That's
a profession that kids aspire to now.
I had
never thought that, you know, and I never planned in my life to
cool
be one.
Old guys.
Are we cool? You know what? We are cool. We're cool old guys. We're dads.
Yeah.
And that's cool. And that's,
I get a lot of street cred for being on YouTube, not with grownups. Yeah.
No. Have you ever recognized somewhere? And have you been through that experience? No.
Actually, I think I mentioned this in one of the episodes somewhere along the line. But when I was vlogging, I did, and I was nowhere. I had like 1,000 subscribers, and but the thing is, I was in a small town, and I'd walk around with my camera like an idiot. I'm so embarrassed by that now. But then I would, Aiden, the vlogger, yay! I don't know why I did that.
See
what you know.
I'd never heard of this. Oh yeah, that was a great question. Why are you like this? I don't know. I'd never heard of this vlogging thing, walking around with the camera out in front of you like that. But I know Kevin Nealon does it for his podcast. He goes on a mountain hike, and then he has a guest like Conan O'Brien or somebody, and he has the vlogging style.
Yes. Yeah, that's a clever way to do it. Yeah. Because vlogging's kind of dead, but
is it? Okay. I never got I guess I missed the whole thing.
It is weird that you missed it, because I always say Casey Neistat is the OG vlogger. He's a very famous YouTuber. But actually, the OG, the guy who started it all, who didn't get as famous as Casey Neistat, is Ben Brown. And
I
saw a video pop up yesterday that he started again, like 10 years later. So it'll be interesting to see if he can revive the scene. He did a bunch of things that kind of gave him a bad name, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad that that's still a thing. I think it's cool you did that. And people around town got to know you, and they saw what you were doing.
It's not cool at all.
Is it not cool? Well, why would you do that? I'm disappointed in you. I can't believe you would do this.
And I get Jack Chips on my phone. I'm like, why?
I'm
ashamed.
Vloggers can go, I guess, straight to hell. I don't know. I'll follow your opinion on this one. I don't really have an opinion. But, I've always wanted to just be known for my music. Like, that's all I ever wanted.
Me too.
I just wanted to write music
for a very long time. Yeah.
And I'm still, to this day, I hope that I'm known for the songs that I write and the lyrics I write, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's funky to me to be known for this stuff instead. You know what I mean? Like, this is,
yeah, I still have that sort of imposter. Like, why am I doing
imposter
this? I'm a singer-songwriter. Why am I?
Yeah. I look at myself as a failed musician, not as a successful retro handheld person, like, you know, content creator or something like that.
Yes.
Like, that's, and it's hard to get out of that mindset. Yeah. And I know a lot of creatives struggle with this sort of thing. It's because if you didn't think that way, you really wouldn't create art. You create crap. You know, I think some of that self, you know, stuff is what leads to some brilliant things that can happen.
Well,
I don't know.
It's like that age old thing. Sorry. We are maybe rambling a little bit, but I find this interesting. It's that age old thing. Like, all my favorite artists, as soon as they became happy, their music was terrible.
Right.
Violent Femmes got born again. Music started sucking.
You gotta be tortured. Nice and tortured.
Yes. Tortured, addicted to drugs, all that thing. Then you'll be good. The guys from Live, did you ever listen to the band Live?
My old band used to cover those songs every show.
Yes. Those guys also got born again.
Cool songs.
Also
cool
became
songs.
A Christian.
Oh, okay.
Like stopped whatever he was doing, stopped being angry with the world and bad.
Huh.
Alanis Morissette, not born again, but we were on a trend there of born againness. But Alanis Morissette just became happy. Like she just, you know, did therapy and became a happy person. And like, she's wonderful. Like I'm still a huge fan, but her music's not as good as it was. And it, you know, it's that age old thing. Like you've got to be tortured. And,
yes. You got to be that tortured artist to make that art. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm generally happy, kind of apathetic, but I'm still plenty tortured. So I got plenty of stuff left.
Apathetic.
Don't worry. Kind of apathetic, kind of happy. I've had a great time chatting with you. I have a taco salad waiting in the refrigerator and I feel like I need to go eat it. I just, that is my current hyper focus. Thinking about the taco salad.
ADHD.
No, I've had an awesome time, and I know we're running a little late on this one. So
yeah,
thanks for having me on, and
cool.
We can't wait to have you back on our show. Like, let's keep doing
yes,
this.
Yes, I can't wait for it.
And I can't wait for you and Shem. You and Shem to have your own show. I think that's
I need to talk to him. I feel like maybe it's a good idea. Mm. Okay, yeah. Cool.
I think so too.
Thanks, Debs.
Thanks, Aiden. Bye, everybody.
Can I just quickly check? I'm wondering whether the cleaning lady isn't here. She's been standing there for like half an hour.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Aiden's cleaning lady is here. I have questions. What's she doing? Is she actually the one who does all the back-end work on Aiden's videos? Is the cleaning lady the ultimate retro reviewer? We need to know. Yeah,